Hey, he's in the hospital.
Blog Talk Radio.
My welcome to Blue Shirt Bandit Radio. Tonight is Tuesday. No, I'm sorry, it's Monday. What the hell day is it? Monday, March 29th. And we are here together. Eddie, how are you?
I'm doing well on this manic Monday. As we are
first
all
night
manic.
First night of Passover. We want to wish our those of our fans that are celebrating tonight a happy Passover. Tonight's the big Seder night. That's right. We do, and we do have one. Marcy Braverman among them.
Yeah. What is going on here? What's this? The first day of something?
Today is the first day of Passover.
Oh, okay. Heard of that.
Glad to hear it. All right. Moving on.
Sorry, I'm just a goy trying to make my way through this wacky world.
You never saw Yentl? Or Fiddler on the Roof?
And I'm not a big Barbra Streisand fan. And Fiddler on the Roof, I think I've seen that. That's with that guy who played Zorba the Greek, right? Whatever his name, Anthony Quinn.
Yes, I believe you are correct, sir.
Yeah. God, wouldn't this turn into movie talk? Yeah, no. Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the answer to the Rangers' problems is coming. And he's coming in the form of Matt Zuccarello Arson. Not awesome, Arson. Apparently this guy is from Norway, and the Rangers are very interested in getting this guy. He played in the Olympics for Norway. He was a real standout in the Olympics. And this guy is supposed to be, somebody could help us. You want to hear the downside?
He's blind and he has a club foot.
Close. 5'7", 160 pounds.
You remember when you used to play? Do you remember the old Nintendo hockey, like the first Nintendo hockey game, where you had to pick your players and you could pick the fat guy who was like the bruiser with the hard slap shot, or the real little skinny guy who had the good shot but kind of always got knocked on his ass? This sounds like him. 5'7". He's a fire plug.
He's a fire plug, but he's been playing with Forsberg this year. Is Forsberg in the KHL? I don't know where he is. Wherever he's playing, he's played on the same team, not necessarily with Forsberg, but on the same team. But everything I've read about this guy is that he has a Ziggy Palfy ring to him. So I don't know. Hey, listen, anybody's got three names I like. I like Michael Delzato, who really has two names, MDZ, but this guy is known as MZA. So I don't know. There's some clips on the internet where he looks fantastic, but then again, there were clips of Andrew Leeson on the internet that made him look fantastic.
Right.
And
see, I thought when you said the answer to all the Rangers' problems is coming, I thought you were talking about Corey Locke, who you know, Ranger fans have been, well, some of them anyway. Gotta call him up. He's got 26 goals in Hartford. Gotta call this guy up. And he's here, Corey Locke. We'll get our first look at him tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, what would it take, about 65 games for us to address the center ice issue? I got to say, Tortorella, a.k.a. Fonzie, you know, a lot of people are calling him Fonzie, and I didn't start this. Maybe Eddie Johnstone knows, but I think it was a girl who actually called him in our lexicon that called him Fonzie. And I started laughing because they switched to the bench the other night, and there he was. I thought it was Henry Winkler himself. So I was like, wow. So apparently Fonzie got hit in the head over the weekend and finally figured out that we need a center iceman and bring up the young guy, bring up the Hartford guys. What was he trying to get? What was he making sure that Hartford was out of the playoffs before he could bring up anybody to ruin their chances? I don't know.
He didn't want to screw over Ken Jernander.
Oh, yeah. Well, him and Ken are tight. They go back weeks. I don't think he's even had a conversation with Ken Jernander. I mean, come on. So, now, what did you take from all of this? Now, there was some pre-discussion in the chat room before we on the air that this was going to be a Ranger bitch fest, that we're just going to complain about our team, and well, I'm sure that's going to happen. But are we still hanging on to any thoughts of playoffs? I mean, what's the consensus out there? I know everybody's going to say no, but I mean, we got one game left, or whatever. How many games left? We don't have many games left. So I mean, really, it's almost impossible, but it's still not impossible. Oh, Jim, what are you thinking right now? What is everybody in the chat room thinking? I want to get a gauge to where everybody is so I can just go along with them and sound smart. So I don't want nobody turning on me tonight.
Well, let me ask you this. If when we were last on the air, which I guess was last Tuesday, if I'd have said to you, we got the Devils, the Islanders, and the Maple Leafs coming up, what would you think if I told you they would get 5 out of 6 points? You'd probably take it and probably still like their chances, right?
Yes. I would agree. I would say that. Yeah, no, I have to agree.
I mean, that's where they're at. And, you know, okay, the situation is grave, as Spock once said to Admiral Kirk. But, you know, 7 games to play, 4 points out of the final playoff spot. But you got to you look at the overall picture. Boston's playing .500 hockey. The Flyers are playing, you know, the Flyers have only won 3 of their last 10. It's not going to be easy, but nothing's easy with this team. But I mean, it's not impossible. You know, losing that Toronto game the other night, you know, that was hurt. But still,
I
you know,
I got that one.
You know, when you look at the overall picture, you know, they got 5 out of the 6 points, and they're still hanging in there. You know, and unfortunately. Fortunately or unfortunately, this is probably going to go down to that last weekend against Philly, and they're going to keep us all hanging on, and this is what it is. You know, they're at this point, I would say that the chances of them falling far enough to get that high draft pick we all covet, you know, I think they've screwed the pooch on that. But you know what? Like somebody said in our game thread the other night, you know, you talk about the tanking and you talk about it. You play to win the games, like that nut that used to
now,
coach the Jets. Herm
Edwards.
You play to win the
You're
game.
Now
you know.
Quoting Herm Edwards?
No, I'm quoting the guy in the chat room. I'm quoting the guy in our open game thread.
The guy who had a clock management referee and still couldn't get it right. I mean, coach.
But I mean, you know, look, it is what it is. You know, like I said the other day on Blue Shirt Banner, you know, this has been a roller coaster ride this season, but not a fun one, not at all. I mean, this is like being on a roller coaster, but you're sitting in between Kathy Griffin and Carrot Top. I mean, this has just been an awful, awful roller coaster ride. But you know, for better or worse, it's over in just a little over 2 weeks. Like I said, 7 games to go, and the Flyers are free falling, if you will. Boston's not playing well. The only team within range of the Rangers, as far as a playoff team goes, that's playing well is Montreal. I mean, everybody else stinks. So, you know, the opportunity's there. Like I said, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you look at it. You know, the optimist in me still says, let's get to the playoffs, because once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen with a clean slate and a hot goaltender. The pessimist in me says, oh,
Where's the hot goaltender?
Well,
I'm going to say it. He blew that game. He blew that game against Toronto.
And he stood up and said it.
Both those goals were atrocious. Ah, killed me. Killed me. But you know what? I want to be killed. I want to lose, but they won't let us go. I want them to lose, but they won't. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to make the playoffs. They're going to make the playoffs despite us fans. They're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to get a 10th or 11th round pick. Well, we could have had a 5 if they would have just decided to play dead. But, again, I'm going to go back to what you said, and it's a good point. 5 out of 6 points, if you would have told us before those 3 games, I would have taken it. But the problem is, Jim, is this. They can't win 3 games in a row. What is wrong with this team? They can't put a winning streak together. You know, and for all intents and purposes, they should have won that game against Toronto. Again, they fell asleep after they got the lead, and then it was just, if they played Katie bar the door the rest of the game. And then, you know, Henrik let in some bad goals. Oh, and Micheletti, I swear he was trying to make it. I think they hit off a skate. He was like, he went into Chico Resch mode where nothing is Marty's fault. I think a camera went off in the audience, in the crowd, and blinded Henrik. Set went off Tortorella's goatee. I mean, you know, he was coming up with any kind of an excuse. But, you know, Henrik, really, for all intents and purposes, hadn't played all that well down the stretch, especially from a guy who's been kind of vocal, which, you know, listen, I'm not going to blame Henrik. You know, the Rangers got to score more, but... And that Toronto team now is not a pushover. They're pretty good. They've been pretty good since the Olympic break. So I think they're going to keep us in, suckering us in, and the whole bit. So that whole bit.
And, you know, again, 7 games to go. There's still plenty of time for Henrik to get, you know, on a roll. And, like, you know, once the playoffs start, you know, you kind of get the pressure off off their backs. Again, anything could happen. And, you know, we all know how close they came to bumping off the Caps in April. Whether they were fooling themselves and fooling us or not, they were, you know, 5 minutes to go in Game 7 and the game's tied. You know, and there's not one of us that wouldn't have taken that deal going into that series. So. You know, a fluke bounce in the Rangers' direction in that game, and they're in the second round of the playoffs with a pretty mediocre hockey team. So, you know,
right? I mean,
what can I? I'm trying to stay optimistic here because
right,
I don't want to just be a bitch fest.
Yeah. What happened? Paul D came in and said, oh, Monday you scheduled the Monday night show and left in a hissy fitty hat? Paul D, it was a mistake. We can't help it if the thousands of people love us more than you. Anyway,
no, we just couldn't get the later time slot.
That's it. Cool your jets, Paulie D. You and Cox, you can argue about headshots for an hour. Now, let me get down to brass tacks. Let me get down to business and use a counterpoint. I thought last year, as bad as the Rangers played against the Capitals, with Rennie, at least there was a system, even though the system was pretty much get pressed in your end for the whole game and have Henrik bail you out. I don't see any system with John Tortorella. Now, I want you to update me because I've kind of been out of the loop as far as these injuries goes. What's the deal with Callahan? What's the deal with Avery? What's the deal? Hello? I mean, seriously, I asked a question of this promise and he's gone? All right. Well, maybe you guys could tell me. Sean Avery, what's the dealio, as they say in the hood? What is going on with Ryan Callahan, who was in agony, from what I've seen? And speaking of agony, we have Ethan Werrick. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to, apparently we went dead for about a minute there. I hope they can hear us now. I don't know. I see the chat room. No one's talking. Dead air. Play some Christian rap. Speechless. Hopefully they can hear us now. If you guys can hear us, please let us know in the chat room there.
I think they could have heard me because I was asking them what the injury was and they're ever responding. So I think they at least heard me ask. Because that was the question I posed to you. What is the dealio with Callahan and Avery?
Oh, okay. I haven't seen an update as of today, but last I heard, Avery was on crutches. I mean, that can't be good. I don't know what's going on with Callahan. I was just trying to see if there was any new info on that.
Huh. And I was just about to say what happened to poor Ethan Werrick. Holy cow! Torn MCL, no surgery, just rehab out for 4 weeks. And if you watch the video, which is on blueshirtbanner.com, which I will steal off their website later and put it on my website with my commentary. Now, I'm not making light of this. Ethan was in a tremendous... Well, I am going to make light of it eventually, but it is... Nothing to be made light of, really. It was the kid was in pain, but he was writhing around. Remember when Curly from the Three Stooges used to spin around in a circle on the floor? That's what it looked like. I mean, it looked bad. I mean, it really did. I know I'm joking about it, but I'm joking about it because it scared me, to tell you the truth. It was just unbelievable. I never seen a guy that in that much pain on the ice. I really haven't. I've seen fans in pain watching the Rangers in that kind of pain at Madison Square Garden. But I've never seen a play. And we hope Ethan gets well real quick. We love him. We've had him on the show. And, you know, he's a great kid. And I don't think he's going to affect him too long. But it stinks because I think his team's in the playoffs, right, Jim?
Game 7. They have game 7, I think it's maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. So, yeah, it's kind of a bad time to lose their captain.
Well, Ethan, speedy recovery, and I hope the Frontenacs win. And go on to win the – what do they win up there? What is that? OHL is –
Is it the Memorial? That's not the Memorial
Cup.
Yeah,
that's the Memorial. Yeah, that's the Memorial.
Memorial Cup. Okay. I'm going to bring Nick on real quick. He wanted to get on early in the show tonight. A couple of updates. Nick, what's going on?
Jim, Ed, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Nick? How's everything with you?
Doing good. You were saying about Callahan and Avery before. They actually went today to get a plasma platelet treatment in Manhattan, and that's supposed to speed up their recovery time. So that's the last I heard on that. But other than that, they didn't skate today.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, that platelet-rich plasma treatment, I have no idea really what it is exactly, but it's become like the new hyperbaric chamber. You remember when everybody was...
Oh, yeah.
I
remember when that hyperbaric chamber... came out, you know, and I was, you know, immediately you think of Michael Jackson when you think of that thing. And then, you know, I remember John Davidson was absolutely splooging himself about the hyperbaric chamber. They actually started Yerke Lume in it as an example. Like, look, it lowers his blood pressure, Sam, or whatever, and they heal faster. Who cares? Does it really work? Now they got this blood platelet thing. I mean, come on. So,
whatever works.
Whatever works. Wait, listen.
We're in a dog fight. Whatever works.
Well, we're playing the Islanders. Speaking of dogs, we're playing...
dogs.
We're playing the Islanders tomorrow night now. Man, I can tell you. I'm going to be at that viewing party in Wontaw, New York. And with Fatio. And I think there's some Islander fans are going to show up there. So I'm bringing my video camera because I got to find out what's going through there. Knucklehead. Those knuckleheads are completely delusional. They probably still think they got playoff hopes. But really, we're not that far in front of the Islanders. I can't even say anything. But so we don't know if they're coming back or not for tomorrow. Now, let's talk about the call-ups. Nick, what do you think about the call-ups? Is Nick there? Is Jim there? What kind of show is this?
Nick, are you there? Oh, we lost Nick. All right.
Man, what? Nick got disconnected. He said, "Okay, well,
okay.
What do you think?
We'll get back to Nick when he calls back."
Okay.
Well, since you were talking about the viewing party, you were at the viewing party at Foxwoods the other night. Why don't you tell us about that? I mean, that must have been pretty exciting, you know, with the big win against the Devils.
Okay. It was great. I always say every time I go to one of these things, I say it's definitively worth the money. I got a chance to meet up with some of the fans of the show. Basically my friends. Paul, who's AKA Eddie Johnstone, we hooked up there, and I'm sure he had a really good time, you know, meeting and greeting the Rangers. The fans were a little bit better turnout than the one that I went earlier in the year, in the winter. I don't know if it's because, you know, the weather is getting a little bit better or was getting a little bit better. More people showed out. Still not as good as last year's at this time when we were playing the Flyers and battling for a playoff spot and with a good chance of making the playoffs. But it was a lot of fun. I think the food is good. I like the food. They had the eggplant. I don't know if it was rollatini, but something like the eggplant, lasagna. They had all good stuff there, A-okay with the food. And the guests there were Stefan Matteau, Adam Graves, Brad Park, and Eddie Jacquemin. And Eddie, of course, was just very – he stood and he signed from beginning to end, because people just did not stop. I mean, they just kept coming and humming, and he stood, and he was very friendly, and I just talked to him for a second. I had mentioned it to him that we have, you know, Emil Francis on the show, and Emil was talking about, I remember him, Emil Gilles talking about the WHA and how Emil told Gilles, don't worry, whatever they ask, we'll match. And I asked Eddie the same thing, and he goes, well, now you have to understand, Eddie is kind of bitter. I think more than bitter that he was traded from the Rangers. He said in the interview part that when he heard the news from Francis that he had gotten traded to Detroit, was no longer a New York Ranger, that he felt, and he said this, he prefaced this by saying, I'm not saying this for any kind of drama or something like I'm writing a book, he goes, but I felt like just walking into the river, into the water, and just drowning myself. That it was devastating to me. And Brad Park then started telling the story that night they played Detroit, you know, the famous Eddie Jochman comeback game, that the Rangers threw that game. They absolutely threw that game. Brad Park said he threw it. A couple other players said they threw it. They had no reason to score against Eddie Jochman. That it was the last thing they were going to do is show up Eddie Jochman at Madison Square Garden, and they threw that game. And that was pretty good, and that was pretty telling. I mean, and I still think he harbors a little bit of resentment towards Emil about that. And, you know, he wanted to be a New York Ranger for life. And to be traded to Detroit, you know, who's going nowhere, it just broke his heart. So that was good. I mean, that wasn't good that that happened. It was good that I got to see it. Adam Graves was there. Adam wasn't as peppered as he usually is. I guess because he's done a lot of these. A lot of people have gotten their fill of him. I had a chance to talk to Adam. I asked him about the Rangers' prospects. Yes, and Frosty said about the Wayne Dillon, they did mention that, that Wayne Dillon did apologize for scoring on Eddie in that game. And Wayne Dillon really shouldn't apologize to anybody. I think he had like 30 career goals. But anyway, next week, Wayne Dillon. So we're trying to get on the show, too. And we're going to have
We both reached out to Wayne Dillon, and well, at least for me, he's inaccessible.
Again, he's tough. Anyway, I will be trying to get a lot, now that the summer's approaching, we'll be getting a lot more ex-Rangers on. I'll be bearing down on it. Anyway, so I talked to Adam Graves a little bit. I asked him about the prospects. Hey, who's called? Doesn't Duke people know I'm doing a show, Charlie? Charlie!
That's the Rangers organization calling, saying don't talk about the prospects.
Wayne Dillon just said F you. Dwayne Dillon. So anyway,
Dwayne Dillon hotline.
So Adam is really excited about the prospects. I mean, he perked up like, because most people were asking, you know, what's it like playing with number 11? You know, all that generic 1994 crap. And I know he's involved because we talked to Ethan Werrick, and he had mentioned that he talked to Graves, and he was just so glowing. And I asked, of course, he mentioned Grachev. He said, don't worry about Grachev. He didn't say don't worry. He says, Grachev is going to be good in 2 years. We're really high on the prospects. He goes, you Ranger fans see Anisimov and Michael Delzato, but there's a lot more coming and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he had to say that. What is he going to say? A snake? But seriously, I mean, you know, he was high on Stepan. He was really
Eddie,
high on
Stepan.
We've got
to tear this whole thing down. Could you imagine if he said that? Something
yeah.
like that. What about the prospects, Adam? We're going to tear this whole thing down, Eddie. We're a disaster.
And I forget myself, Jim. A lot of times I forget myself. Like, the Rangers tied that game up on the Drury goal at the end. I know that killed you to watch him get a clutch goal. But he scores that goal, right? And I turn around because I want to see what Adam – oh, at this point, let me just say, Adam is now sitting behind me. He's got a table with two of his friends. They're right behind my table with me and Eddie Johnstone in the chat room there and my all wives. And – you know, I look back, I want to see if Adam is into this. Look, Adam's not clapping. Right to get a goal in the last second to tie a game. I want Adam Graves clapping. I don't care about no cup. I care about covering. Are you a Ranger fan, too? Where is your allegiance? So I say, oh.
Well, is he trying to maintain a decorum in front of the fans? Or?
There's no decorum. What is a decorum? We're in a casino.
I'm just asking a question.
I don't know. What do you? Maybe. So I look. I go. Oh, Adam Graves ain't clapping like that. I mean, he's like 5 feet behind. I don't know. He wasn't clapping. So I'm like, my Stan says Adam wants them to tank too. I think he might be right. I didn't think of that. See, Stan, if you would have been there, you could have come with that one and settled me down. So I turn to Paul. I go, Adam Graves ain't clapping. Whatever. And I got to tell you, Paul, a.k.a. Eddie Johnson, he was his first time. He was like a kid in a candy store. His face was all bright and rosy. He's getting got Brad Park and he got all these guys. Anyway, so
was he drinking?
When the Rangers did, what?
You said he was bright and rosy. Was he drinking?
No, he wasn't drinking. He was just all caffeined up.
Oh.
Because we know that St. Patrick's Day thing he had. He got a little crazy. But anyway, I totally am off the rails with his story. But anyway, what happens is when the Rangers do win it in the shootout, he was ecstatic, Adam Grant. So, indeed, he's not a double agent. He is a true Ranger fan. And I then asked him, you know, I've been hearing a buzz that Swatz is out the door, that he's retiring. And he says, I haven't heard anything about that. So he didn't really – the tone I got, I don't know if he knows or not or would be in the loop, but he didn't seem that he knew anything. So – take that from what you will. And anyway, I met Brad Park. Brad was a little tough to track down after the first period. He sat down in a lounge chair that wasn't even at a table where you could, like, find him. And I found him going into the overtime. He was sitting down. I didn't even know it was him. I had completely forgotten what he looked like. But I tracked him down, and he was good. And Steph Bateau said to my wife when he first met her, because you've seen my wife, the first thing he saw when he said when he seen her, he goes, "You're very tall." Yeah. And it's and he goes, "About 6'1", right?" That's what he said. I'm like, boy. So
well,
but Steph is really nice. Steph, he may not be the smartest cookie in the world, but he is definitely a nice guy. And, you know, who cares? Well, these guys got to be rocket scientists. I mean, yeah. So, all in all, a good evening. It was a little bit dead when the Rangers didn't look like they were going to win a game, but it came alive. I met that chick, April, the girl who does the in-between period stuff at the Garden. You know,
yes,
I
saw that picture you posted of you.
Yeah,
and,
you like that little? You like that little?
Look at you hobnobbing with the cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Actually, I always have something to say bad about these people, but I will say nothing bad about this girl, April. Very nice. Very low. You can just tell she's a nice girl. I don't know how she got the job, maybe not for being so nice, but, you know. But she seemed genuinely a nice spirit, a nice person. And although she didn't know the words to the goal song, the Rangers goal song that we play at the beginning of this show. Now, I'm going to ask the chat room this, and I'm going to ask you. This was a question they asked at the do they say goal, or do they say oh? So it's either oh or goal. What do they say? Cutting it in half. What do you want tonight? I mean, seriously, are you on a Fisher Price microphone here tonight? I mean, is it me? He's cut down or what? What is going on here?
Is that better? Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now. Would you switch from Fisher Price to Tonka?
Yes. I believe that the words to the are, it's just, whoa. I mean, it's not a difficult song to learn.
Guess what? Everybody is wrong. They say goal. Can you believe that? I can't believe everybody in this Everybody in this chat room, including my co-host, got it wrong. They actually say goal. That's what you're supposed to say. Goal. You know what it is? We don't have enough practice. We never hear that dancing goal. It goes up once a game.
Hold on. That does not sound like goal. I do not hear the word goal. I hear,
listen,
whoa.
Eddie Johnstone, I agree with you there. I heard whoa. But Eddie Johnstone was dead. Didn't they say that it said goal? I mean, that's Scott Lasky said that they said goal. But that, when you play it there, it sounded like whoa. Yeah. You know, maybe I'm going to punch that Scott Lasky in the face when I see him tomorrow for making me look like an idiot on his show for the 4,000th time.
Everybody in the chat room saying, I don't hear goal. It sounds like whoa.
I didn't hear it either. Ghost of the Crazy Greek is no fucking way. What's the movie that from?
Johnny Dangerously.
Johnny Dangerous, my fargin' right.
Farging ice holes. It's farging war when the newspaper comes up. It's farging war.
That's a good all movie. Right. It's got a lot of.
Oh yeah, I like when they play the. And now we're talking about movies again. But I like when they play the telephone game in the prison. He's going to shoot my brother at the Savoy tonight, and then they keep passing it on, and it keeps getting stranger and stranger. And then at the end, he says he's going to kill my brother at the Savoy, and the guy says, "That's not what I said." And he said, "Yeah, but I noticed Grapevine or something like that."
And Frosty's got that one. My mother hung me on a. Hanger once, did he say something like that or something like that? Joe Piscopo in one of his more brilliant roles.
Oh, yeah.
That in the, well, he was good as, what you call it, in another movie there I like, with Danny DeVito.
Wise Guys?
Wise Guys, that's a good movie. Anyway, yeah, we digress.
Well,
yeah,
I had Nicky to bring back on from hold, but then he got disconnected again. But I did just want to say that while we were talking here, I got a text message from Ethan Werrick. All it says is torn MCL 3 to 4 weeks. And I told him, you know, get better soon, and we're all pulling for him, and we were talking about him on the show, blah, blah, blah. And he said, go F yourself, leave me alone. No, I'm just kidding. But he did keep us updated. He promised he would let me know today when I spoke to him last night, so he sent me a text. I'm sure he's not in the best of spirits right now, so... Oh, we appreciate him checking in.
Yeah, hey, he's thinking about the show. Friend of the show.
That's right.
I was saying that. I always love saying that. Friend of the show. Yeah, it's, I mean, this is really, what has the show come down to? We're now debating the goal song. This is a bad thing they've gotten. We're breaking it down.
somebody asked me over the weekend, I told them that, you know, we do this show every week, And somebody asked me, well, what kind of show is it? And I said, the only way I can really describe it is, I said, think of a morning show that you'd hear on regular radio. I said, but it's all about the Rangers. You know, it's kind of what we, you know, it's kind of what this is like. You know, it's humor and, you know, information and guests or whatever. I said, you know, it's kind of like, I said, well, it's like a morning show, but we're on at night, and it's just about the Rangers, really. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's bring Nicky back on. Nick, are you there?
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry about that, guys. I don't know why I got disconnected.
That's okay. Wow.
It's a block talk issue.
I think about the goal song where everyone, well, when they on the actual screen, when they actually score, it says goal. But I, like you said, I think it's a wall. I don't think they actually say goal.
Yeah, I don't hear no guh. In there, right. I hear whoa.
They when, have the word goal scrolling across the screen when they actually score, but it's not what they say in the song.
Yeah. We gotta
all I know is that when I'm watching the Rangers and the Rangers score a goal, you know, every couple of nights, as soon as my daughter hears that horn, she starts singing, and when she sings, whoa, it's good enough for my 3-year-old. That's good enough
right.
for me.
Right.
When did that start? When did they even start the Gold song?
I hate the Gold song. Well, no, I like it. I'm in the middle.
Oh, I love the Gold song. When did that? That's a good question. Did they have the Gold? Was the Gold song around in '94? I believe it was.
Yeah.
Was it?
I'd have to go put my DVDs on to be sure, but I think it was, but I don't think it predates 1994 by very much. Stan from Bayside is yawning.
Yeah, thanks for your criticism, Stan. Hit the bricks if you don't like this show, Stan. Call in. You get excited. What can I tell you? Don't tell me what you're thinking out loud.
If you want to
call?
What
I'm thinking out loud? I wish I was with that chick April. No, I'm not thinking that.
Anyway, you asked me before I got connected what I thought about the call-ups. Corey Locke, you go down two energy guys in Callahan and Avery, and then they call up Corey Locke, which I've only seen him play like twice this year. But other than that, everyone that follows the Wolfpack say he's a guy that doesn't – he's more of an enigma more than anything. So why wouldn't they bring up someone like Byers to fill that role who can throw the body around and fight and sees physical and shows effort, you know?
I'll tell you the same thing I told DB Maven the other day. You and your outside the box thinking, you're just crazy. And how about P.A. Parento with his standard, let me get called up and score a goal in the first game I'm back.
And yeah, not score the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, he's a free agent at the end of this year, so if we re-sign him, I think he has a chance at a camp next year, because every time he comes up, he scores.
Yeah, well, if we send him down 40 times, he might get 40 goals. And bring him back up.
Except Matt Tappa down 40 times.
Yeah, really.
Answer the phone.
Everybody's got phone calls today. No, I don't know. Now it looks like I'm trying to get the pulse of the chat room where we are on Corey Locke, and it looks like Frosty is a little defensive about Corey Locke. Here we go, rip Corey time. I didn't even know he was that important that we have to rip him. I mean, what do you think? Corey Locke. I mean, I know he's a prolific playmaker in the AHL. Again, you know, they should have just brought this guy up a long time ago. And go ahead, Nick.
Why try him now at the end of the season? Like, why didn't they try him? Like, they called up Parento several times. Why not call him up at another time in the season? Like, they need someone to come up and produce now. They don't even know what this guy's going to do.
Well, guys, you know, we've been saying that Nick, you, and everybody's been saying that this should have been done months ago. That with Dane Byers and Dale Weiss and all these guys, instead of bringing in the Jody Shelleys of the world and all these other bums that they bring in and playing Aaron Voros or not playing Aaron Voros, we should have been bringing these guys in to see if they can inject some kind of hustle into the team, some energy, some hunger, because the Rangers have no hunger when they play. They're not a very hungry team. I'm very hungry, but they aren't. And some of the things that have been bothering me, and you want to talk about, we'll talk about some guys that really, is Olli Jokinen officially a dog or what? Are we going to give that to him yet? Is he a dog?
Yes.
I think he's gone after this year.
I mean, really, this guy's a putz. He's terrible. He takes way too many penalties, too. Me and Jim were talking about this. He takes too many offensive lazy penalties. Now, there's a guy. Why wasn't Corey Locke brought up at the trading deadline instead of going out and getting Jokinen? Right?
Good point.
Right? I mean, yeah.
They had to, but at least getting Jokinen cleared the Higgins and Coda League salaries off the books, and it gave the Rangers a short-term solution. You know, a guy they thought that, you know, might perform for them the rest of the season, and worst case, then at the end of the season, they're off the hook.
Jim, I understand. Is this the same argument with the Higgins deal? That Higgins allowed us to get Gomez's contract off the books. Great. Fantabulous. But the guy you get back, at least, can he be serviceable? I'd rather just trade nothing. The Rangers traded nothing. The Rangers got nothing. Scott Gomez. We don't even want a guy back. Although McDonough was the throw-in in that deal, which turned out that might be a good thing. But after, like, you see 10 games of Jokinen, you know what he is. He hasn't scored in 8 games or 9 games. Come on. And again, if you got Jokinen out there and he can't play with Gaborik, I already know he's a stiff. Get out. And so I would have liked to seen again. I guess it's just bugging me that they didn't go with the young guys. And you know, playing Monday morning quarterback is easy, but I mean it's hockey 101 from a coaching standpoint that you bring up guys from the minors at different times in the year in order to inject some life. Because in 82 games, these guys can't get up. And now he's waiting to game 70 or game 75 to bring up the Hartford team. I mean, it doesn't make much sense, does it?
No, like you said, it should have been done earlier. And I thought we should have saw Grachev earlier, but we haven't seen him all year besides preseason. Actually, no, he did play one game in Washington, didn't he?
I don't think he's played a game.
Oh, no, they called him up because Callahan was questionable, but Callahan ended up playing. That's what it was.
Yeah, it looks like Evgeny has been struggling down in Hartford, at least from what we hear from Mitch Beck. He's about as reliable as Andy Dick on a Saturday night. But, it's... And now I see some talk about Prust. And let's talk about it, folks. Brandon Prust, I hope I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid on this guy, but I like what I see from this kid. I like
bring
him.
Bring him back.
Yeah. I definitely agree. He heads to the net. He fights all comers. Good fourth-line guy. That's
and
what they need.
And it's not like he's just a goon either. You could tell he has some skill in there. He has hands. He could score goals if he has the opportunity in front of the net.
Yeah. No, I like him. I like him. And the only thing is I wonder why he hasn't hooked up with any other teams before now. That's the only thing I'm worried about is that maybe just because we never see a guy like that, maybe we're overrating him. But, hey, I like what I see. I say keep Brandon Prust. And he's going to come cheap, right?
He would, yeah, he should.
I don't know.
Save them. I thought it was $6 million.
yeah. Does anybody come cheap with Glenn Sather?
So
how about this, Eddie? You were talking about Corey Locke coming up late in the season, and I'll throw a name out there that maybe five of us will get the reference. Maybe Corey Locke will turn out to be this year's Bobby Sheehan.
Wow, Bobby the Cat Sheehan. Yeah, he has some long locks back in the day, long blonde hair. Bobby Sheehan, wow, I can't believe that. He was a journeyman player for years, and he hung on with the Rangers for that 79 Cup run.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, Brandon Prust, and you want to bring another guy into this equation that I'm starting to take to. And I've been kind of like, I wanted to rebuff this guy. I did not want to like this guy. Can you guess who I'm starting to kind of like? Who I
Jody
really
Shelley.
Didn't want
to... Shelley.
No. He's a bum. I don't want over 30-year-old goons. I'm sick of that.
Oh.
I think he's okay. He's okay. Come on, you guys. I know you guys don't all hate this guy. He's a guy, he's no.
Boros.
Get the out of here with that quote.
Roosevelt.
Come on. You're just baiting me here for reactions.
I'm
you
just
guys
telling
know it. You all Red. Cheer for this guy. He's a center iceman.
Drury.
Christensen?
Eric Christensen. Eric Christensen, don't you think that he's kind of, you know, I mean, don't you think he's kind of, you know,
He has some crazy skill when he's consistent. You see some of the moves he pulls out there on the ice, but his only problem is consistency, which is the team's problem, too.
Yeah.
Well, he fits right in.
It seems to be a confidence thing with him. And I like him. I think people see something in him. Now, I don't know if it's ever going to develop. I mean, but I see he gets some opportunities, and he does make some nice moves occasionally. He looks like he's got some great talent.
Yeah.
And Mark Osborne, if he turns it around too, I mean, he's a big guy. Why is Frothy talking about Mark Osborne?
Mark Osborne?
He's got to play bigger, Mark Osborne. But then again, the Eric Christensen thing goes, but on this team, that's why he looks good. On any other team, he'd be a scrub. But, you know, we actually see.
Okay.
But he does seem like he's into it on most nights. So, you know, it's the little guys like Preston him that say, all right, these guys are decent. It's all the major players suck. You know?
Did you guys see Tortorella's comment today after practice?
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one. Give
me the ass out of my face.
Andrew Gross asked him about Parento's performance the other night, and he goes, he was our best player. That's a good thing for him, but a bad thing for our team.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. I said that 2 weeks ago when Avery was playing, you know, when he was playing so well. And I said, you know, when Avery's the best forward on the ice, they got problems, you know?
But really, is that a confidence booster to either P.A. Parento
no.
basically
no,
saying, if this scrub is the best player on our team stinks? Which
right. That wasn't his best comment. His best comment was, he said, you writers think we're a bunch of idiots on the ice. That's what he thinks. He feels everyone's counting them out already. They're the only ones that believe in themselves. So whatever.
We're not counting them out. Not yet.
Not me. Oh, they counted out already.
It ain't over till I sing.
No, no. It's over. Right now, the medical doctor is now carting the Rangers out of the ring on a stretcher. No smelling salts will awaken this thing. It's over.
It's not over.
I want it to be over, though. I want it to be over. I want this season done with. It's driving me crazy. It's so boring and so insufferable.
Clean slate and a hot goaltender and anything can happen.
Oh, what? Stop.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Sherman bomb pulled out? Hell no!
Sherman, forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now! Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going! Come with me! Let's go! Come on!
I'd love to edit that so that when it says, when the going gets tough, the tough lose to Toronto in overtime.
A lot of guys, I know Mike Zippo is in the chat room. He was up there and alive at that game at the ACC. Oh, boy. I don't know. And it was funny because Mike was on Facebook just last week saying, I'm giving up my rest of my tickets for the year. I hate the Rangers, this and that. And then next week he's in the ACC watching it live. That crap all alive. That's just like us Ranger fans. That's
spending
typical
money
of
on
what
a,
we
on
do.
On a road trip.
I went nuts on that loss. I was throwing stuff. I couldn't take it. I can't. They can never win in overtime.
Overtime. The Lundqvist goal got me mad, but what got me even more mad was the overtime goal where both Redden and Drury just watched it happen. They just stood there and gave half-assed poke checks and just watched it go in. Like, come on.
They give the Roosevelt shopping cart?
I like that. I like Nick. That's what the Rangers defensive corps should be called. Half-assed poke checks. That's all they are. They never tie anybody up. Their stick is always on the ice so it can deflect past Lundqvist. I mean, they're never tying anybody up. They're marking guys. They're like cones. They're like, what are they called? Traffic cones. Traffic pylon. Might as well paint them orange. They stand next to the guy, but they don't do anything.
Well, Boston losing 3-1 at the end of two. Atlanta losing 2-1 at the end of two.
Don't even give me this crap where you think they're going to be.
Nothing is over.
Oh, God. DB may be he's saying that Tortorella went after Rick Carpinello?
You didn't hear about that? The other night, yeah.
Let me tell you something right now. I haven't heard anything. Let me just preface, and you guys can fire away. I'm going to tell you, Carp is one of my favorite guys in this business. And if I find out Tortorella said anything that I'm going to be even irked by, Tortorella's going to be in my shout-out bow-wow for life.
Tortorella said he doesn't think. Those are his exact words.
He told Rick Carpinello, you don't stink.
No, you don't stink.
I'm trying to find the write-up on it.
What do you mean, you don't stink? What was the question?
I'm not sure what the question was, but Tortorella, he got like all defensive and said, you know, we have a good goalie. You just don't think sometimes. I forget what the question was, though.
Well, you know what?
Here we go. I'll read you this real quick. Okay, John Tortorella launched me a bit tonight. No big deal, no hard feelings. I'm a big boy. I can take it, and we spoke afterwards anyway. A while ago, I had questioned his using Chris Drury and Ryan Callahan to start overtime. I embellished it at the time, calling them penalty killers and shot blockers or something like that. My point was that when OT comes, you need the 2 points. You should have your best offensive players on the ice. And I also brought up back then that I would use 3 forwards and 1 defenseman if I was in the Rangers' position, needing points so badly at this stage of the season. So I asked Tortorella after the game tonight, after he started Christensen and Gabrick for the OT, if he ever considered using 3 forwards in overtime, something, by the way, he did in Tampa. No, Carpy, no, he said, then looked away for another question. I got the feeling he wasn't done. I just wondered if it was going to reach Larry Brooks' proportions. Would he ask me if I've ever been in a fight? I have, but it sure has been a while. You have a pretty good goalie, he said. I know you've talked about that. You throw a lot of things out there, and you really don't think. I thought I'd keep it light instead of going back at him, so I said, that's not my job. Tortorella got angrier. Obviously, it isn't, he said.
Oh, this guy. This guy is a major league doucher. I mean, come on. He's got no professional, no professionalism whatsoever. Come on. Andrew Gross. Now, I know Larry Brooks is a little bit of a cretin. It's tough to get behind him, you know, but Rick Carpinello and Andrew Gross, these are nice guys, and I understand. Why do you got to insult people? These are people we're supposed to be work with. And again, we've said it 1,000 times. He is the mouthpiece for the Ranger organization. What does that mouthpiece tell you? I'm arrogant. I know more than you. And meanwhile, I'm not making the playoffs. I can't take any criticism because I'm a little baby Fonzie. That's what he's saying. Screw you, major league doucher. Now I hope you get fired.
That's his version of a cop-out answer when people ask him serious questions that something everyone wants an answer for. He just attacks the reporter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, come on. It's just... All right. Say it was a stupid question, which it wasn't. All right? And Kopp knew that, according to that, what you just read, that he had done that in Tampa. So, I mean,
right.
It's just... I think that's a well-thought-out question. He actually knew what he did, you know? And, again, he acts like a moron. You know? And it's just... Come on, do you really? I mean, I want to break it down, guys. Let's all get down to street level right now. I know we beg on our Rangers that we hate our Rangers at times. We don't hate our Rangers, but we're miserable being Rangers fans. And it's tough to have any pride in the team. But do you really want to have a guy like this as the guy that represents our team? I mean, really, I mean, as much as you said Rennie, you know, like, I didn't like Rennie because he was just like blah, 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 you know, he was just Mr. Mellow and whatever, but at least he was respectful, people around the league love him, you know, everybody likes him, nobody has a bad, you know, never a bad thing, and now this guy, and I'll bring it to this other thing. Did everybody see that poll that they did with the 50 NHL players, the anonymous poll that they did?
Yeah.
Did you guys catch this or not?
Yep, I saw it, yeah.
Yeah, I
saw it. Okay, well, all right, like, he got the least coach, the last coach that you would want to play for. They pulled 50 players anonymously. He got 18% of the vote. He led the way. John Tortorella, the mouthpiece for this organization, being rude, unprofessional, and if he's unprofessional with the writers, how do you think he is with those players? That, you know, he's paying their salaries. You know, not really, but, you know, in theory, he is, you know. I bet he's got every one of them pissed off at him. You know?
Well, something that I always thought about was players usually tell you that they don't even open the newspaper, they don't read any of the articles. Apparently, Tortorella reads everyone's articles because he always knows what they're writing about and he always criticizes them on it.
Well, they're reading Blue Shirt Banner, I guarantee you that.
Probably.
So,
Judging from the recent developments between the New York Rangers and Blue Shirt Banner, I would say they are definitely reading us.
Screw them. You don't need them. Who needs them? For
they're reading and they're listening.
I hope they're listening.
Didn't Higgins tell you guys you read it?
He told Joe that he's read the site, yeah. And I know that Delzato's read it.
Zach definitely reads it.
Yeah.
All right.
And Michael does too, she says. Anyway, Nick, we're going to take some other phone calls. You want to stay on the line or what do you want to do?
I'll stay on. It's fine.
All right. Let's see. We got a Skype call. Who's this? Blue Shirt Banner Radio. You're on the air.
Guys, it's Paul. How are you?
Hey, Paul.
Hey. What a great show tonight. And Eddie McFly, Tortorella bashing. I love it.
I mean, I didn't hear this thing about Carpenter. Did you hear about this, Paul?
I actually caught it earlier on his blog. I was reading early this afternoon, so I caught it. But, you know,
what
it doesn't surprise me. You know, some of the things that have been coming out around the garden this year, it's, you know, and really, I know people may debate. This guy is in serious trouble of not coming back in September because there is so much internal nonsense that he's created around the team. And I told you, Eddie, Jim Dolan has been up next to Sather for three straight home games in the box to Sather's right. And you know where I sit. You can look up at it. Above. Three straight games. And I've never seen him there three straight games. He made pop in, you see him a period or two, he leaves.
And
honestly,
Paul,
I don't think he likes his return, what he's seen so far this season.
Paul Sather was at the Toronto game the other night, too.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't show, I don't think they showed him on MSG, but on center ice, I only had the the Hockey Night in Canada feed, so I got to see a few things that you guys didn't
see.
And really Sather was in the press box, yeah. And so, including the guy in a family of people in turbans in Ranger jerseys. Eddie, did you get that picture?
Oh, my God. It was like Al-Qaeda was at the gate. I felt
Warner Wolf. The look on that guy's face.
I remember Warner Wolf used to go, and Al-Qaeda was at the gate. You know, he used to do like, you know, whoever it was. Bill Butel was at the game.
Yeah.
Guys, just one quick thing before I get away from Tortorella. Remember the first game that Ole and Pruss played? It was in, I think it was in L.A. It was a late-night game. And the post-game press conference, Sam Rosen said to Tortorella, how do you feel they played tonight in their debut? And Tortorella gave him a look to kill and was ready to snap on Sam, and he caught himself. And he said, I'm not going to dissect that here. We'll talk later about it. And, yeah, I mean, Sam Rosen has been around forever. And just asking a simple question, and, you know, Tortorella looked at him like he wanted to tear his head off. And anyway, I don't want to talk about him anymore. But just two quick things, guys. The goal song you were talking about earlier made its debut the night we raised the cup banner, January 20th, 1995. That was after the lockout. Obviously, we lost half that season. And I know the guy that wrote it is the music director at the Garden, Ray Castaldi, wrote it. I cannot tell you, though, if it's goal or whoa. That's one. But
didn't
I know.
But Paul, didn't they say at that thing that it was goal?
Yeah. And you know what? Honestly, I just don't know, because I always thought it was like whoa or oh. And then the fans started, you know, singing goal to it, you know, when we celebrate at the Garden with a goal. But, you know, as far as the debut, I know it was the night they raised the banner. That song made its debut. So that's when it started. But as to what they're saying in it, I couldn't tell you. All right.
And I just posted that picture in the chat room. You guys can take a look at it.
Yeah, you gotta take a look at that picture. So Paul, I know Paul's told me, you know, that there's a lot of things going behind the scenes. You know, some people.
And just Eddie, just let's not blow people up, because especially the one.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I'm just worried. You know.
Right. Okay. So that's fine. But anyway, we just know that. Look at DB Maven. Yeah, I know they're not Taliban. They're Sikhs. Okay, whatever. We're just generalizing. It's a fun show here. You're gonna dissect it, DB Maven. Way too serious. Anyway.
Oh my.
Oh my. Well, Paul, yeah, I know you want to choke Fonzie right now, and I don't know. I mean, he's just Sam Rosen, and I've caught him not just on that occasion, but a couple different ones, he has had to hold himself. hold himself from snapping at Sam. You know, Sam's been on the beat for 30 years.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, and he has no regard for him. So, you know, imagine Rick Carpinello when he shows his face in that locker room, you know, 10 times a year, and you just don't think. Shut up. You don't think. He thought Donald Brashear was going to be good enough to play on the third line. How about some of the stupid quotes you've come out with this year? Tortorella. No accountability by him. That's the thing that's the worst. So,
well, now, Jim, let me ask you this. Why all of a sudden now we have Gilroy sitting and Erickson up from Hartford? Why wasn't this being done earlier? And I'm not trying to single out Gilroy, but, you know, Eddie just mentioned it, accountability. Now he's trying to send a message with seven games left in the season. He wants to sit people out and bring people up. But then again, now that we're out of the playoffs, now all of a sudden we're in a rebuilding stage. He came out with last month. I think you guys saw that too, when Tortorella was interviewed by Newsday, and it went from trying to win and get into the playoffs to everyone has to be patient. We're rebuilding. Tortorella loves to put a spin on things. He's the master of it. I give him credit for that, but it's wearing thin here, and I think a lot of people are onto him already. So. I Am, so, among others.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, you say you don't want to single out Gilroy, and I don't think you are. The problem is that he's scapegoated odd players all season long at odd times. I mean, look at the whole Enver Leeson thing where he dresses him and sits him on the bench. And I mean, you know, meanwhile, you know, Redden and Roosevelt continue to, you know, underperform, and he benches Roosevelt, you know, he cuts Roosevelt's ice time here and there, and Redden gets benched for two games and then comes back and he's been no different, no better. You know, it's very, but for some reason, you know, Gilroy, he doesn't mind picking on. He doesn't mind picking on Dubinsky. He doesn't mind picking on Enver Leeson, but he's, like I said, he's scapegoated very, very strange players at very strange times this season. And now, you know, to kind of do all this with seven games to play, same crap we've seen all year. I don't get it.
Even Sidney Gabrick the other night, a lot in the second period. I mean, you know, he's your leading goal scorer. No matter how bad he's played or, you know, now is not the time because, you know, we still have a chance. It's a small chance, but this isn't the time to be sitting your leading goal scorer and benching him. I cannot figure him out, his logic.
You know, I can figure that out because he's disappointing. He's making Tortorella look bad by not scoring every game. Because Tortorella was with the, we need our biggest players. But he wants anybody that remotely makes Tortorella look like a fool, which isn't a hard thing to do. What do you think, Gavrik is going to score 82 times in a year? I mean, he's playing with nobodies, folks. I don't care what, he's playing with nobody, and he's still going to get 40 goals or more. And the fact that Gavrik is not scoring and making him look good, he's all cheesed off at Gabber, so I'm going to sit you. That'll motivate you. It's worked all year, hasn't it? Nothing. They're going to not. They stink. Like I said last week, they stink. And when you're a dictator, you better be winning because those players, the only thing they love most is winning. When they're winning, they'll listen to any coach and put up with any coach's nonsense. But when you stink and you got to put up with this nonsense with this guy, telling you you're doing something wrong every second. You know, they're sick of it. They have tuned him out. We said this long ago. Boy. They have tuned him out. And the young guys, God bless the young guy that can develop under this guy. God bless them. And Gilroy should have been, I think Gilroy should have been in the AHL, should have stayed in the AHL. He just doesn't know the position. He's physically, he's not there. Positionally, he's not there. He doesn't hit. He really should have spent the year, but they went out and they signed him, and then it was a big hoopla about him. He's the next Brian Leetch. I'm not even sure he's the next Stephen Leetch. I mean, you know,
might not even be the next Brian Berard.
Yeah, it might even be Brian Berard. I mean, you know, so all these things are coming like almost, late in the season, almost so he can say, well, I tried everything. You know, it's just. He's done a horrible job, regardless of his unprofessional ethics behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, dealing with the media. And I told Paul, you know, I don't want to throw him under the bus 100% because the players have stunk the joint up. But it is his first year, but he's done everything wrong in the first year.
Eddie, this conference is so weak. And we still have, I mean, I know we have holes, guys haven't, but I still cannot believe in this weak conference that we're not in a playoff spot that we're trying to get in. You know, and Karp made a great point again the other day on his blog. We've pretty much been injury-free again this year. You know, of course, we lost, Doobie when he had the broken hand earlier, and, you know, a couple games here or there with Gavrik, but... I mean, some of the other teams have lost players for a significant amount of time. Look at Carolina earlier in the year, lost Cam Ward, you know, and thank God Cam Ward got hurt because we'd be further back now because they'd probably be in a playoff spot if they had Cam Ward healthy the whole year. You know, they're not going to miss by much, you know, the big comeback that they tried to do to get it back into the playoff picture.
Go ahead, Nick.
About the conference thing, he makes a good point because if we were in the West right now, we'd be in like 13th.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
All right. Paul, we're going to take some other calls before we...
I'm going to hang up.
Minutes.
I'm going to listen off the computer. But just one quick thing, too. I don't know if anyone else saw this. I just wanted to thank ex-Ranger Chris Nyland. I don't know if anyone else saw it, but he was over in Afghanistan for 10 days with the troops over there, spent time in a lot of the hospitals where, you know, a lot of soldiers are being treated.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not sure who he accompanied there, you know, what organization it at, but I know he just got back up into Boston, where he's from, up in Massachusetts. But I know he was there for 10 days, and he did a lot helping and visiting the troops and trying to raise spirits there. So I just wanted to mention that. He's an ex-Ranger, and I thank him. And, Eddie, we'll see you tomorrow night. Jim, always
a pleasure.
And
thanks,
great
Paul.
Show, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Paul.
Talk to you soon. All right. We got a full switchboard now.
Knuckles Nyland doing the right thing.
Beautiful. Good job. Let's see. Let's go to 917-825. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. This is Zach.
Hey, it's Chris. Where is the rap music?
Oh, hey, Chris. Not tonight, buddy.
Let's see if we can get through
your phone call without some Christian rap.
Yeah,
Chris was right in the middle of that when that happened. What's going on, Chris?
I just wanted to tell you. Oh, hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted to say I found some. If you go on a Hulu, they have like some classic games, and I was watching this playoff game from I guess it was '95 when they played the Nordiques in the first round, and Joe Sakic scored a hat trick. But I was watching the game, and I saw Nick Kyprios, and I feel kind of like he's our Jody Shelley.
Yeah, that's true. Nick, and in what regards? I have a different opinion. Maybe we're on the same page. Why do you think Nick and Jody Shelley are kind of like paralleled?
Well, you know, I think they're both bums.
We agree.
Nick Kyprios.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, does it bother you that they gave up a draft pick for the guy, or just that he's just a straight-up bum?
I mean, I can't, first of all, you guys know that Jody Shelley is the guy that Avery sprayed the water on, right?
Right, yes. I knew that, but I don't know if everybody else knew that.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just weird. They have this guy. They just wanted, like, a guy, you know, a bum. We need a bum.
Yeah. Again, you
need
can't
a
get
– bum.
It's true, though. It's always a 32-year-old, 37-year-old. It's never a young fighter. Why do we have to get the guy who's punched, drunk, washed up? I mean, Jody Shelley still could throw the dukes, but he's terrible. He was a player. I think
a better comparison is Marty McSorley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that deal. He was so washed up. Oh, that deal was horrible. That Yari Curry.
Ugh.
I hate Yari. Yari Curry sucked.
And they had the Verbeek.
I like Pat Verbeek.
I like Pat Verbeek.
Verbeek was all right, yeah.
40 goals with us? 30s,
yeah.
Late, high 30s, 40s? He was another free agent.
Yeah.
They let him go, Pat Verbeek.
Yeah.
Stupid asses. And then you got and Yari Curry. I remember he was a free agent after playing with the Rangers, right? And I think it was Gretzky was still there, and they were like, "Oh, Curry's going to play with Gretzky." But then Curry decided to sign with the Kings for $100,000 more as a free agent rather than stay in New York. Oh, I was so pissed. I was like, "Unless you suck, then you have the balls to go to play with the Kings. Give it a break, you loser." Yari Curry, not one of my favorites. No, I think Nick Kyprios Nick Kyprios might have been a better hockey player than Jody Shelley is right there. Jody, you know, ten years ago, I take Jody Shelley. Now it's washed upville.
Rangers gave up Ray Ferraro, Nathan Lafayette, Ian LaPerriere, Matthias Nordstrom, and a fourth-round pick for Yari Curry, Shane Churla, and Marty McSorley. Matthias Nordstrom had a 15-year career with the Kings, didn't he?
Matthias Nordstrom turned out to be a defenseman the Rangers could have used. A guy who hit, a defensive defenseman, a shutdown defenseman, had a great career. I mean, I'm not a Hall of Fame career, but he had a great career. Chicken Palm, well, he was okay. McSwally was completely done. I mean, he was so done. Stick a fork in him. And Curry, and then Shane Trailer got hurt and was on IR for like 8 years with the Rangers. I was still seeing him at scratch like 7 years later. You know, get rid of Shane. Shane Trailer scratched.
Speaking of done, I gotta say they have to get rid of Jokinen.
Oh, arm. He takes bad penalties. He's a non-factor. I mean, we got a little bit. People got a little bit giddy about him in the beginning. He picked up some assists, you know, but was so bad. I mean, it's a virtual Sahara Desert at center ice. So bad. Think about our center iceman. I know everybody will say Dubinsky, but Dubinsky, come on, let's face it. We've talked about it. He's a third-line center on the other team, on a good team, let's put it that way. Maybe a second-line center. Then it's Erik Christensen. Ah, it's terrible.
I agree with you, though. There's something I like about Christensen.
There is. I don't want to like him, but he makes me like him. I want to just write him off as a retread, but every time I see good things in him, so I can't get on him. And a guy, speaking of which, Chris, I think a lot of people were on, and I want to get your take on this, was starting to get on because he hadn't scored in a dozen games, and so it was Anisimov. But he's looked good.
I agree. He's looking good. I think they should definitely keep him around.
And I read about Anisimov that he finally said that he feels comfortable playing in the league and he feels comfortable out there. When I hear that, that really – and he has looked good. Didn't he miss a big-time opportunity in that Toronto game? For some reason, I remember yelling at him.
He did.
Yeah.
He
but
kind of
I love him.
He kind of touched Gypsy Doodle around in front, but it didn't work out.
Right,
he was very, very patient, very, very patient with the puck.
And what I'd like to see him is get that puck on the boards, use his body, and then bring it out to the front of the net. You know what I'm saying? Just take the bull by the horn, so to speak. And I really like the kid. I think he's on schedule. He is on schedule to be a second-line player in this league. I think, I mean, he's up there in the top 10 forwards in scoring for rookies. So everything's good, despite having a coach that I don't think is so youth-friendly. You know, this is speculation. I don't know. I've never heard from any of the younger guys. But, yeah, there's some things to be positive about, but the overall picture is pretty bleak. How about you, Jim? Have you, are you an Autumn fan? Or do you? A lot of people are getting onto him because they think he should play more physical. Because, you know, that's a big thing. If a guy's big, he's got to be physical.
I like Anisimov. I like the way he's played, and I was trying to look up a stat because we were talking about this the other night. He had been playing well. I think he had a goal in the. He scored a couple of goals last week. Did he have a goal in the Islander game and he had a goal in the Devils game? Am I right about that?
Yes. I think yes.
Okay, so, you know, I thought he was starting to play better. He also scores some of the prettiest goals on that team. I mean, some of his goals are really, you know, highlight-worthy. You know, not that that should mean everything, but it's just the one thing that is one of the things that stands out with him. But, you know, he was starting to play better. I thought he was getting his game together. He was starting to score goals. And against Toronto, he plays 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't get it. He keeps saying it. I've been saying it for 6 months. I don't get it. I don't get what they do. 10 minutes. I mean, 10 minutes. Jody Shelley had 9 minutes. You're going to tell me that Artem Anisimov is only 1 minute better than Jody Shelley?
I know. I don't know. I don't have the answer to this maniac. I don't know. Why can't you just play? I mean, I don't know. I think, again, you know, they're saying, it disturbs me when they say, oh, Preston and Shelley and Anisimov line looks good, and I'm going, why is he playing with these guys? I kind of like it. They have a good fourth line, but I like to see Anisimov with some of the better players. Give him some major minutes. He has no problem giving Michael Delzato and the defenseman, I mean, tons of time. But apparently, if you're a rookie forward on this team, you have to work your way into the lineup.
I mean, and here is okay, and I looked it up. Yes, and Anisimov had a goal against the Devils. He had a goal against the Islanders. So his reward is 10 minutes of ice time against Toronto. P.A. Parenteau gets called up from Hartford and gets 16 minutes. You're going to tell me that Parenteau, a guy that you didn't want anything to do with for 4 months, and all of a sudden you call him up, you give him more time, more ice time than a guy that's starting to produce?
You know what, Jim?
He gets 10 minutes of ice time?
Jim, sometimes
Prost had 11 and a half minutes.
Jim, sometimes you don't think.
Sometimes I'm trying. You know, it's like Curly says. It's like Curly says. I'm trying to think, but nothing's happening. I love that. I'm trying to think, but nothing's happening.
Why is PA Parenteau played 16 minutes? Come on! What is that saying to the kid too?
And then he bashes him right after the game.
Yeah, he goes, "You're a scrub."
When did Avery get hurt in the Toronto game? It was about halfway through the game, late second period.
Yeah, about halfway. Yeah.
Second period.
And then anyway,
he got hurt
those...
in the second period. He got hurt in the second period. He still had more ice time than Anisimov. That just baffles me. You know, it's crap like that that just baffles me. It just makes that makes absolutely no sense. I mean. You know, I'm not saying Artem Anisimov is the answer to all the problems, but, you know, all he's done is be there every night, and he's starting to score goals. He scores goals in back-to-back games, so you rest him for two-thirds of the game against Toronto when you only got one goal?
Right. He's played 72 games, odd games for the Rangers. He's been put on every ridiculous line. We're playing with, like, buffoons the whole season, and then a guy who just gets called up plays more than... God.
Oh, but I can't believe I missed this. Aaron Voros had 13 minutes of ice time. You know what?
I'm jumping out my window.
Fire him for that.
I got
the hell with everything else. Just look at the score sheet from Saturday night's game. Just look at the ice time, and you could fire him based on that.
Give it to me. I don't want to look at it. Give it to me.
I'm giving it to you. Anisimov, 10 minutes of ice time. Aaron Voros, 13 minutes of ice time. The guy's been scratched more than a chicken pock. And you give him 13 minutes. you give him 3 more minutes of ice time than Artem Anisimov? Explain that to me. Oh.
And which was the game that Gabrick was benched? Or he played like 2 minutes in the second period. Was that the Devil game?
No, that was the Toronto game, wasn't it?
That was Toronto game too.
Hold on. I pulled up Larry Brooks's article from today because I wanted to kind of. He was benched for the final 8:15 of the second period of the Rangers 3-2 overtime loss to Toronto on Saturday night.
Again, what's the reason for that? He's one of the only players that scored, so you bench him? Come on.
Yeah, and this is the guy. We need a big player to play big, and then he benches the guy. Right? I mean,
said, Eddie, you know, Gabrick's got 39 goals. He's playing with nobody. He's playing with Prosper, and he's playing with Dubinsky. You know, he's only 6 off the lead. Sidney Crosby, Steven Stamkos. I mean, those guys, you know, look at the talent. And Ovechkin, look at the talent they got around him. What's Gabrick
got? You think they're benching
that
guy?
He's still got 39 goals.
As bad as Tampa is, the Tampa's out. You think they're benching Steven Stamkos? I mean, come on. I mean, I know we have 2 hours of radio to fill. You know, sometimes 4 a week, so we can get on the coach. But really, come on. This goes against every hockey rule. Like, it doesn't make sense. It's bizarro world. It really is. I'm not saying this for comedy's sake. There's just certain things that are done in hockey that have been done year after year. It's just what you do. I mean, how many times we've seen it in the past with regular hockey teams? Let's not talk about the Rangers because they're a little bit different. But you're struggling. They bring up guys from the minors, forwards. They maybe bench. They maybe send down. They send down guys. We see this with teams all the time. The Rangers, all that Tortorella did all year was juggle the goalies back and forth. That's all he did. We didn't see any Dale Weiss. We didn't see any Dane Byers. Bobby Sanguinetti might as well be working at a pizza place in Hartford because he's never going to see New York again. What does it take? That Anders Ericsson is 35 years old. I've never even seen a guy play, never heard of him. They brought him up. I thought it was a joke. They have guys, the guy, you know, you talk about systems and stuff like that. Apparently, they're supposed to be learning the Rangers system, quote-unquote, down in Hartford. But then this guy, Anders Ericsson, comes out of the blue. He gets called up immediately. What about the Corey Potter, who's been in and out all year and has looked halfway decent? What about Bobby Sanguinetti? What about Matt Sauer and all these guys we have down in the minors? Anders Ericsson, 35 years old? Does it make any sense? I mean, again, it's not done for comedy. A normal team would bring up their prospect, the guy you've invested a lot of money and time with.
Yeah,
Anders Ericsson. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, you know, when you sit back, when this season, you know, dies its death, which it will eventually, and you just sit back and you look at all of these things and add them all together, I mean, it's just, it's preposterous. It's goddamn ridiculous, as you would say.
It's goddamn ridiculous. But,
I mean, you know, P.A. Parento has been, you know, sitting in Hartford for months, you know, they don't call him up, and then they call him up and they give him more ice time than a guy who's producing, you know, for a couple of, who's been, you know, starting to show signs that his game's starting to come around. I mean, they, you know, and they've treated Anisimov like crap all year long. You know, they put him on the main line with Gabrick and Prosper, and after two games they decided that wouldn't work. And I know I've beat that to death too on this show, but
that really
it still pisses me off. I mean, it's just you know it takes, you know, you're not talking about Gretzky and Curry and guys like that. You know, it takes a little time to develop this chemistry. You know, Messier, Graves, and Kovalev or Larmer, you know, it took them more than two games to figure out how to do it together. I mean, it's just, you just can't coach a hockey team like this. I'm just some buffoon who's been watching the game for 30 years, and I just can't see how you coach a hockey team like this.
No, I don't think so. I know why he only has one assistant coach, really. That guy, what you call it, Sullivan, he must be just a yes man. Because how can you argue with that
Mr.
guy?
Mr. Personality?
Yeah, how can Mr. Personality even breach something, Torts, I think we should maybe work on? You couldn't. You just got to be like, yes, Torts. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, sir. I mean, how can you? I mean, he's.
Ja, wohl, Herr Kommandant.
I know nothing.
Hogan's Heroes. Ja, wohl, Herr Kommandant.
Colonel Clink. I mean, seriously.
Sullivan.
I mean,
Hogan.
Sullivan. I mean, yeah.
If you mess with me, I'll send you to the front.
Torts to the cooler. But, anyway, it's just like, you can't argue with this guy. I mean, and I think it's, you know, we've joked about it before. It's almost like De Niro and Meet the Fockers. It's like that circle of trust, but it's only him. And he ain't letting nobody in. Nobody is getting in this. You know, I mean, it's just, it's nonsense. It's complete nonsense. That
is,
you know
what? This show alone might be swaying my whole opinion. You know, I've said all along it's not a good idea to fire the coach after a year, and it's not. But, you know, after you look at all of this, man, it's, you know, I'll tell you what. If you bring him back, okay, you bring him back for another season. But, man, you got to have him on a real short leash because something ain't right. There's just something ain't right here.
He's a mental case. He is a mental case. You cannot be representing an NHL franchise in the media the way he does, especially when you're a loser, because he is a – I don't care if he won a Stanley Cup. I can name a half a dozen coaches that won a Stanley Cup that had no talent. I mean, yeah, it is an achievement, but it's now it's here the present. And right now he is acting like a loon. He's off the rails. He's totally derailed. I mean, the imagery that comes into my mind is like in The Fugitive when that train goes off the rails. That's John Tortorella and the Ranger team right now.
This all started after he won the Cup, because this is the same reason why he got kicked out of Tampa.
But he's got this chip on his shoulder with this New York. Like, he's got to be like he's Billy Martin or something with all that without the winning baggage. I mean, yeah. I don't get it. He's like he's constantly going at it with the media. They'll run down to town. I know hockey is a crappy sport, and it's not a crappy sport as far as the media goes, as well as the coverage goes. But they'll run you out of town. Unfortunately, it's probably not likely because Dolan doesn't give a crap what people think about his teams. He hates the media too. So, but come on.
Yeah, that's why he controls half of it in New York.
Yeah, the Kremlin. No. So that's my thoughts on him tonight. But I agree with Jim. I can't base 1 year, but from all I've seen and what I've heard, this guy's he's not dealing with as a rational. He's not rational and he's not professional. And I don't know where all this arrogance comes from.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you sit down, if you were sitting down with John Tortorella at the end of the season and doing a season review, and you say to John Tortorella, why should we bring you back for the 2010-2011 season? Is there another reason you could give besides, well, a year isn't enough time?
No.
No.
Nope.
I mean, that's, you know, that my you know, that's just my thinking is starting to change here the more I look at this.
What we would, I mean, his system was scrapped, like, you know, after we went into that losing streak after the great beginning. It was totally scrapped.
Right.
It was scrapped. So any progression in his system, well, so-called system, they're not learning that. They haven't learned it all year. So if he does, when are we going to get the players in here to do his system? 5 years? 4 years? I mean, when is this going to happen? With the cap room that the Rangers have, they can't go out and really get these go-go guys. I mean, yeah, I mean, we've made a little bit of progress with Delzato as far as offensive defensemen. But the forwards, other than Gaborik, I think they're mediocre at best. I mean, I like Callahan. You know, I don't want to – oh, you got to preface this by saying Callahan, DeBinsky are okay. But, you know, they're going to be stuck in this defensive style for a while, and it's freaking boring. And that's my big beef. They're boring.
I don't even see a defensive style.
Yeah.
I just see – it's madcap, you know. I just don't even see a defensive style. It's like, just go out there and try not to screw up too bad. Hope we get enough goal. Hope we get more goals than Hank gives up, and then we move on. You know, it's like there's no style or system in place defensively. At least not that I can see. We lost Zach. Let's bring it. We got another call here. Nick, you still with us too?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You got another 917 call. Who's this?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Not much. Not going to lie to you. I'm kind of a bit drunk right now because it's my friend's show tonight, and they're having 2-for-1 deals. Guys, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. What's going on, Zach? Actually, that was Chris we lost. I'm sorry. I got their numbers are very similar.
Okay,
so what's going on, Zach?
I am actually outside in East Village, kind of soaking wet right now. But I knew you guys were having a show tonight, so I wanted to call in. And, Eddie, what? I'm going to try to make it out to Wausau tomorrow night if you're going to be there.
Yeah, I will be there for sure. I wanted to ask you, Zach, what's your drink of choice there tonight?
Yingling. 4 Yinglings and a shot of Jaeger.
Oh, I love the Yingling.
What is a Yingling?
It's a beer.
Yingling is a beer. It's brewed in Pennsylvania.
Brewed in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Wow. You guys are beer connoisseurs.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Yingling is my dad lives in the Poconos, and that is his beer of choice. And every time I go up there, that's what we drink, and it's a good beer. It's just a domestic. There's nothing. It's not one of these highfalutin beers. It's good stuff though. It's a good beer.
I haven't had it in a while. But yeah, this isn't a radio show about beer. This is a radio show about the Rangers and about hockey. And I've been listening to you guys for the past 5 minutes or so on the phone. You guys are expressing a lot of disbelief towards Tortorella. Let's see what he's got for another year. Let's see what he's got to work with next year, which we all know really isn't much. But what can you say? We're stuck with him for now.
All right. Well have another one.
I'm not so sure, but we'll see.
I mean,
all right, Zach, we don't want to keep you away.
I just want to say, I know you want to let him go, but I just want to say on that, I agree with you at some point. 1 year, you wouldn't normally give 1 year, but this guy's a mental case. He needs to go. He's off
the
rail.
Everybody's got a mental case. Tortorella is just one that, you know, he shows that he's just insane. And we all say the same thing. I don't know if there's anything new to say about Torts. We like the guy and we hate the guy. It's all the same reasons. We say it over and over again. I mean, let's just talk Phoenix Coyotes hockey. You know, they made the playoffs. The Rangers didn't.
Good night, everybody.
All right, Zach, get back to happy hour. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm walking
Take care.
Home right
see
now.
You tomorrow.
Eddie, I'll try to see you tomorrow, and Jim, and Jackie's in the room, and everybody, Paulie D, all that. I'll see you all next week, and have a good night.
Take care,
bro. All right.
Take it easy.
See ya. Now I know how Letterman felt when he had Farrah on.
I think he's fun.
He is funny. He just wasn't very coherent.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a mental case. You're very
coherent,
my friend.
Mental case. I like that.
Everybody's got a mental case.
I'll have to make a clip of that one.
All right, 17 minutes to go. If you want to get in on this, 646-478-4692. DB, we're going to bring DB Maven in here in a second. And see, Zach just said exactly what I'm, exactly what I was just saying. Well, he's bring him back because a year's not enough. That's right now. It's the only reason I can think of, and I don't know if that's enough. If that's a good enough reason.
If he acted normal, I could see it. But he's. Taking his coaching record aside, and even we don't know his dealings with the players too much, but he's just insane. You don't act like this. You got to act professional. This isn't minor leagues or the college ranks where you can throw stuff and act like an idiot and make funny things that they can put on Budweiser commercials that you say, and it's just not professional. An 82-game season, this guy's had about 40 blow-ups. He's a mental case. You hear that, John? I know you're listening. You're a goddamn mental case. And lay off Rick Carpinello and Andrew Gross, or I'll belly whop you off the Empire State Building. They got that torch. I'm coming after you. I feel like I just did a wrestling thing. Like I was in my wrestling spot. When I get you in the ring, Tortorella... And it's going to be curtains. When meeting the Iron Sheik, pick up Captain Louis Albano. I'm sorry.
Hey, pal. Yeah. It's curtains for you, Rocky. Curtains.
But yeah, I mean, I just. So anyway, I'm down. So I will be in. I'm not wrapping it up. I'm just saying that I'm down for. I'm down for Tortorella going, but normally I would just say, listen, give him another year. He doesn't have the. He certainly doesn't have the players' fans. I mean, come on, folks. You can't win with this crazy team. The team stinks. I mean, this team is bad. God, I'm sitting there praying that Chris Drury will wake up. What's he got now, 10 goals?
That many?
Yeah. 10 goals. Talk about a guy. He's Mike Pekka now. He's Michael Pekka. Is Michael Pekka still playing?
No, I think he retired.
Yeah, so he is Michael Pekka.
He took the rest of that Wang money and headed off into the sunset.
Chris Drury is Michael Pekka. He's our Pekka.
DB Maven, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. You're having such a good time.
Oh, yeah.
It's what we're here for. It's always a good time on this show.
I think that this is the time when we have to pull out that line that I told you about that my friend who was a season ticket holder back in the 70s and 80s used to use when he was screaming at Carol Vadney, there's a bus leaving in an hour. Be under it.
That guy used to get under Carol and Nick. Nick Beverly.
That's right. Yeah. So now we can have him on, you know, Anders and all these other guys, too. A comment about Torts. Did you guys happen by any chance to listen to the podcast, The Paulie D Show, from last week?
Yeah, the one with Fatiu and Greshner?
Yes.
Yes,
when,
I heard.
When Fatiu said that Cesar didn't hire Tortorella?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you think about it, the more you think about it, the more the pieces start to fall into place, because Tortorella's been out of control. I mean, you've said it. Come on, you've said it yourself. Tortorella's been out of control. You're jerking me around.
I know. I was saying he's a mental case for an hour here. Yeah. Of course, he's out of control. The guy's off the rails.
You know, so what's the you really have to wonder what's the real deal. And with who was it? Paul called in earlier and said, you know, he's looking up at the box and there's Sather and Dolan in the box. There's something going on. Now, you know, maybe the whole fire Sather thing, as much as they panned it, you know, got some attention. Maybe Dolan's paying some attention to this. I don't know, but I can't imagine that it could be anything but good. You know?
Right.
Because
anything but good for who?
Well, good for the fans, I would hope.
Oh, okay.
You know, maybe
did
I'm
you hear what I said before? Sather was at the Toronto game, too.
Well, that's because he needed cigars, and you can't get Cubans in the U.S. You have to get them in Canada.
Well, the
Come
funny
on.
Thing is that
that
the funny thing
to
is
do with
that
hockey.
Is that he didn't have a he was sitting up in a press box and he didn't have a cigar in his mouth, and I didn't know it was him at first. I swear to God, I didn't know it was him at first. He wasn't chewing on that turd, and I didn't know it was him.
There's so many things going on with this team. The bottom line is I have stayed out of the Torts hate or the Torts love all year as much as I possibly could. The thing with Carpaniello really shocked me to some extent. Now, Carp played it down, and he basically said, I went and talked to Torts later, you know, afterwards, and we're good and everything, but obviously, Tortorella does not like to be criticized. Well, son, you should have thought of that before you took the coaching job in freaking Manhattan. Hello? What planet are you on? You're kidding me, right? I mean, you've got to be joking. You've got every coach who's ever been here, every player who's ever been here, is absolutely scrutinized. They can't even go to the bathroom without being scrutinized, for crying out loud. And
yeah,
you don't want to take criticism? Get over it. This is New York. Hello. This is how it's done, okay? That's all there is
yeah,
to
I mean,
it.
You make a great point. Some of the greatest coaches in the history of sports have been in New York, and they've all been criticized. Pat Riley was criticized.
Right.
Parcells was criticized.
Oh, Parcells was hammered until he got his act together. You know, and look at the current situation with the Giants. I mean, they were ready to run him out on a rail,
yeah,
too. And all of a sudden, shock, surprise, they turn around, they win a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean he's
right.
good for another 2 years or anything. He can be, you know, in the doghouse just as quick.
Yeah,
he's got about
three games this season before that all comes back. He's
absolutely.
Got about three games.
I think you're right. You know, the bottom line is that this team was not constructed for the quote-unquote Tortorella system, and he doesn't know how to play a safer system, a more defensive system. He doesn't want to. So he's
what
stuck
are they playing?
Between – they're playing shit. They don't know what they're playing.
it's like I said, they're playing – you know, it's madcap. You know, they hope they don't make too many mistakes on defense. I hope they score more goals than Henrik gives up, and then they move on.
Well,
that's really
yeah,
what it
I
comes
think,
down to.
I think they're trying to sort of play the quote unquote safe as death system, but they don't have the bodies to do it. They don't have the talent. They don't have the skill set. So they're sort of stuck trying to do something that they're really not capable of doing. So is it all Tortorella's fault? Is it all Sather's fault? Is it all Dolan's fault? You know, we can argue and debate this till we're blue in the face. The bottom line is that, and it's funny, I did put the link up before, and some people were looking at it, I think, in the Corey Locke thread on the banter today. MLeach352 and Ranger Smurf and I went off because I've been saying for a long time, I've been defending Girardi because from what I see, Girardi is not the problem. Okay? And so Smurf, who's the stats guy, dissected it, and it turns out that with Delzato, Girardi's a minus 15. With everybody else, he's plus one. So it's a combination. You know, Delzato probably should have spent another year in the minors. And he would have grown up, and he would have been more like Mark Stahl when he came up. You know, is Anisimov had the talent around him that he should have gotten? You know, well, you didn't have the talent to surround him with what he needed. That doesn't mean he should have been back in Hartford, probably not, but, you know, this guy couldn't really do what he's capable of because he didn't have the people around him. You've got Drury, who finally wakes up in the Olympics, and he comes back energized. Where the hell was he in November? You know, we could just go on and on. It's been a frustrating season, and it's going to be real interesting to see what they do over the summer.
No, if we look forward to the summer, what are we looking at as far as cap room goes? Say the UFAs that we have coming up, these guys that we basically got as rentals, say they're not signed. What are we looking at money-wise? Is there anything that can really be done?
The only
Boston and Atlanta have both lost,
seen?
By the way. Sorry.
Yeah, they both went down.
They both lost.
The only hope that I see is that you've got to do something with Redden. And as unlikely as even I believe that is, that's what it really, I think, comes down to. Because otherwise, there's not – I mean, I'm pulling it up as we speak.
I mean, what can you sell Redden? You can't – like Scott Gomez, you could say he just didn't work out with the Rangers. He's a good playmaker. He's won some Stanley Cups. What can you say about Wayde Redden that would be a selling point to anybody for that money?
There is none. This has been it's been posted now. It's like everybody has jumped on this bandwagon. What's his name from Spectre's Hockey had a thing up on it. There, a couple of the other blogs have had it up. It's like, dump Redden. Redden's got to go. The only hope for the Rangers is to get rid of Redden. So all of a sudden what we've been saying for like 3 months now is the hot button around the NHL blogosphere. All right, so what? I mean, the reality is there's nothing you can do with Redden. Everybody knows it. And they're basically all saying what I said 6-8 weeks ago is the only hope is you move him. You move him to Hartford, you bury him, and you make it go away. That's the only
right.
hope. Because if you look at just the expiring contracts and the people who aren't going to be back, you've already still got $44.2 million in salary. So you only have $12 million in cap. So you've got, and that means you've lost Jokinen. Okay, so that's not a big surprise. Prospel is included in the group. Leason, Christensen, Shelley, Prust, and Parenteau are on that group, plus Girardi, Stahl, and Erickson. So, you know, you got to get Stahl back. It's my opinion that you want Girardi back. I think, like everybody has been saying, you want Prust back. Now what have you got? You've got $12 million to spend. If you go after those three, Stahl probably, what do you think, three to three and a half maybe?
I think 3.5 to 4, but all right, let's say 3.5.
Let's say 3.5. Girardi, if you're giving Stahl 3.5, you better be giving Girardi 3.
What's he making now?
1.5.
If he asked for 3, I wouldn't give it.
You look at the stats, he's a whole lot better than
everybody thinks he is. But I got the Gaborik thing sticks in my craw. I hold grudge.
That's not the role that he's expected to play. That's my opinion. I think that Girardi has been a shell of himself because he has not been in his familiar situation paired with Mark Stahl. You put those two guys together and you've got a shutdown defensive pair in the NHL. I think Girardi's worth $3 million.
Jim, what did I mean? You know, I don't want to. You know, I think you make some good points there. But when we talked to EJ Raddick, what did he tell us about Girardi?
Jim,
do you remember? Are you there,
Jim? Jim.
Okay,
damn it,
well,
Jim.
Damn it, Jim. Where are you?
Sorry, yeah. My daughter came out and I had my microphone muted. EJ Raddick said that if he played for Nashville, you'd never hear a word about him.
The Ranger fans overrate Dan Girardi. I mean, you take EJ Raddick, I mean, you know, the guy's an expert, you're an expert. I take both things at equal value, but I tend to agree that Dan Girardi on Nashville, people are like, Dan Girardi? We'd only recognize him when he gets his first goal against us, like every other clown in the league does. But, you know.
All I'm going to say is this. Everybody, the latest joyride that everybody's on, the guy that we've got to go out and get, is Volchenkov. Volchenkov, 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 Volchenkov. All
I know.
Because there's a couple of hits on YouTube, all right? And the reality is that Girardi's stats are better than Volchenkov's. That's all I'm going to say.
Well,
you know what you've got when you put Girardi and Stahl together. You know what you've got. Every time they've done it this year, those two guys, if I'm not mistaken, have had a positive plus-minus when they've played together this year.
When they're not deflecting pucks into their own net. I'm with you. I'm with you, but I'm down on Girardi.
But you're
the Gaborik thing is, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I don't care.
I don't have a problem with that. Bottom line is, I say you keep him. You want to toss him to the wind, fine. So if you've got, all right, so 2.5.
All right, sold.
So there you've got $6 million between those two guys. You can get Prust for $800K. All right? So you've still got, what did I say, 12? You've got about $6 million left to spend, and you've got to replace or re-sign Prospel, Jokinen, Christensen, Shelley, Pat. I mean, you need a roster because you ain't got one, and you're not going to do it for $6 million bucks.
Real quick, we have about 10 seconds to go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And maybe we'll be on Wednesday or Thursday night. Eddie and I will have to talk about it. So thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.
All right.
We're off the air. Sorry.
All right. No problem.
Cool.
All right.
Yeah, the problem is you don't have a lot of money, and you've got a whole lot of roster spots to fill.
Yeah, which means, you know, it looks like they're just going to have to watch the waiver wire and bring up kids, but they don't bring up kids. They sign these losers.
Well, people have been talking about you bring up this guy and you bring up that guy, and you look down the list at who in Hartford is on an expiring contract, and more than half of those guys, Byers, Locke, Newberry, Potter, Valiquette, Sauer, DuPont, Ambuhl, Heikkinen, and Crowder are all on expiring contracts. You know that a lot of those guys are not going to be back.
Yeah, Heikkinen's not coming back.
Well, Heikkinen's not coming back. Ambuhl's probably going to bolt, too. Why would he stay?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Valentenko, I mean, he's never even played over here. So he's never even earned a penny of a salary of his contract. So, you know, that's history. He's gone.
We got one of the Baldwin brothers.
The Baldwin brothers. Hey, whatever.
No, you don't even, not even talking about the guy we should be talking about.
Yeah, who's that?
Did you miss the beginning of the show?
Did I miss the beginning of the show? Well, maybe I blocked it out.
Matt Zuccarello Assen, MZA, the Norwegian Hobbit, as he's known. He is coming over to wreak havoc. 5'7", 160 pounds, my birth weight, will be here.
Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war.
Let loose the dogs of war. The Norwegian
Hobbit! And let foot the dogs of war.
There you go. That's the one.
NCA. Michael Zuccarello Assen. Here is his profile. MZA. Matt Zuccarello Assen. Nationality. Norwegian. Occupation. Pimp. Norwegian. Hobbit, ladies and so, yes, we got a lot of problems.
Yeah, like I said to start, the only way I see doing anything significant in during the summer is that you've either got to trade Roosevelt, which is possible. Yeah, he's only owed $7 million over the next 2 years, and the cap hit is $10 million. So for, you know, a team that doesn't want to spend a lot but needs to get over the minimum, he's an ideal candidate, you know?
Right.
So, you know, he's got some trade value, especially the way he's played over the last month or two. Redden, it's either bury or live with it. Because buying him out, to me, is worse than just living with it for 4 years.
Right.
You extend the pain. You extend the pain to like 2020. It's like, oh my God, this is like a bad rock and roll song.
Right. No. I just think you're right, and I think for the benefit of the team, he needs not to be on the ice.
I think I got Jim with that last one.
Yeah. I was thinking it becomes the Inna de Gata de Vita of contracts.
And I got
in the year 2020, Redden's still playing.
In the year 2020. I think it's...
In the year 3535.
There you go.
You guys are out of control tonight. All right, folks,
yeah.
I got to go.
All right, yeah.
Get on,
my dinner time. Eddie, do you want to do Wednesday or Thursday this week?
Are they playing either of those nights?
They are not.
I'll do a Wednesday show, and I'll ask one of the guys when I see him over there tomorrow if they want to come on.
Okay. All right, I'll set up a Wednesday show.
Okay, take care, DB. Great
thanks
stuff
for having me, guys. All right,
no
thanks.
Problem. Nick, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm actually on the computer, but I'm still listening.
Well,
all right, buddy. Thanks for sitting in with us.
Yeah,
thanks, guys.
Great. Take care, man.
Have a good night.
All right. Good night,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye.